Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10 as we begin. But I am truly excited about what God is doing in our church. It has been a good year, amen? I know we've had our struggles, and that's going to be expected. I mean, we're Christians. We're going to struggle. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be hardships. But in the midst of it, we have joy. The Bible said joy unspeakable and full of glory. The God we serve gives us joy in the midst of struggles. Amen. He's with us, church. He is with us. God is with us. And I love the point the pastor brought out that Jesus came to do the will of Him who sent Him. He came to do His Father's will. And here it is, the last Sunday that we'll be together this coming year. And it's amazing how fast the year went. And I was thinking, you sort of try to reflect back about what's been happening this past year and the struggles and trials, the victories we've won, and the things that God has been with us and done for us. And it's just exciting. And I hope, with the Lord's help this afternoon, I won't keep you very long, Lord willing. It's all in the Lord's hands. I'm up here just to do God's will and to be His voice piece this afternoon. But I want us to understand, and I hope to leave you in the coming new year with an encouragement and an excitement about what God is getting ready to do. I don't know about you, but I'm like Elijah. I hear the rain. Don't you hear the rain coming? Amen, church. I believe with all my heart the rain is on the way. His servant said, "What are you talking about, Elijah? The skies are clear. Go and look and bring me word." He goes, comes back. There's nothing. Go again. Seven times he sent his servant to look to see for the abundance that God was bringing. Sometimes we quit too soon. Sometimes we stop in the midst of our trials, in the midst of what God has got for us, and we stop at the point and say, "No more, we can't go any further." Elijah said, "Go one more time." The servant comes back the seventh time and says, "What have you got there?" "Well, I beheld a small little cloud, about the size of a man's hand." Church, that's all it needed for Elijah. Glory to God. Now, some of us would have gone, "Oh, that's not going to do much for us." But to Elijah, that's all he needed. Praise God. He told Ahab, he says, "You better go ahead and get in your chariot and get on the road, because you're going to get swamped in. Because there is an abundance of rain coming." Glory. And I'm here to tell you, in the year 2014, I am believing God for an abundance of rain to come down upon this church, upon our community, and to just bless us abundantly. Now, I hope that you have that same expectation. I hope that we're not the type of people just come and go, come and go, come and go. Do you know what Proverbs 29:18 says? Without a vision, the people perish. We need vision. We need to adhere to the promises of God. Those promises need to be rehearsed to us. Those promises need to be told to us. We need to hear what God is going to do, what God has done. Why? Because it allows us to have a vision. It allows us to understand that God is there, and God has for us in store great things. My. I don't want to be like in the days of Samuel when he was first called as a little boy, and Eli at that time was the high priest, and his, if I could say, and I will say it, his evil sons with him. They were not keeping God's laws. As a matter of fact, it says in 1 Samuel, in chapter 3, I believe it is, he says that God gave no vision at that time. Whoa. Think about that. There was no revelation by God given to the people. Eli wasn't doing his job. Eli wasn't being holy unto the Lord. His sons were evil. and the people were destitute of the truth of God's word. They were morally sick, all of them. And God's word was not revealed to them. Oh my, I don't want to live in a generation where God is not revealed to his people. I want to live in a generation, and I believe it's our generation. God has many things in store for us. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We have a wonderful Savior. I shouldn't have to. I know you all believe that. We have a Savior that has come to seek and to save the lost people today. I often wonder of myself, where would I have been if it wasn't Jesus who sought me out and who had found me and who saved me and who brought me out of darkness, placed me on a solid foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Wash my sins away. Where would I be today if he did not come into my life? I shudder to think what I would be doing today. I would be like all lost men, living selfishly for myself. Wanting what I want. Doing what I want. Living how I want. That is the way and the condition of man today. They're selfish. But I tell you, there's one who is not selfish. And he gave his life for us. He loved us with an everlasting love. He gave his life, poured out his blood, that we may have remission of our sins, that we may have be brought back in restoration to the Father in union with him. What a God we serve today. Woo! We have this hope in him. And I love him today. I hope, are you over there in Romans chapter 10? I'm excited what God is doing. I'm excited, especially toward the end of this past few months. Oh, we've been out witnessing. We've been out sharing God's word. Those who have been able to go with us, it's been quite an encouragement. And I want to encourage you as the church today to understand how much that has encouraged not just me, your pastor, not just the elders of this church, but has encouraged the lost man that we have gone to see. It has been an encouragement. As I went out and as y'all went out, all of us almost in this room went out caroling. You remember? Last weekend, we went out caroling before that community. You all weren't privy to it, but my wife and I, Brother Al and his daughter, we went ahead of you and knocked on doors. Isn't it interesting how it takes hands, it takes feet, it takes fingers? We all work together. Glory to God. Some out knocking, some out walking, some out singing, some out testifying, some out, I'm telling you, there is a witness to it all. Hallelujah. Don't think that you just went out and sang and that was it. No, 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 no. When I went up to the doors and knocked on them, people were literally shocked when I said, "Can we come and sing to you?" They looked at me with a puzzled look and said, "You want to what?" I said, "We want to come sing to you. This is the Christmas season. We're rejoicing in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're out caroling. Our church wants to sing to you." And I didn't say, like, "Oh, well, you know, I hope you all listen to us, you know." No, sir. I was excited. I was enthusiastic. I was almost, as a matter of fact, my wife will tell you, I used a little persuasion on one lady. She didn't want to come. I almost dragged her out. You know, "Yeah, you got to come out. You got to come listen." It was new to people. People have told me, no one has ever done anything like this. No church has ever come out and sang to us. That's a light, folks. You say, "Oh, that's just a little flicker." That little flicker can turn into a forest fire. Hallelujah. That little tiny flicker that we were out there witness. I'm telling you, church, while we were up ahead of you, many houses ahead of you, we could hear the voices of your singing and the praising of God in the midst of darkness. In the midst of a place that does not know God, God's word was being heralded. Hallelujah. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. He was being heralded. Praise Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And I kept stopping with my wife saying, "Did you hear that? Can you hear that?" here in the midst of this place where people are lost,
come on, brother,
God was being heard. That's exciting
Lord,
to me.
Boy, praise
That's
Lord,
exciting
Lord,
to me. Hallelujah. We have been going out witnessing. I'm getting to the scripture. I'm getting to it. I'm just testifying. I told you I had a lot to testify. I'm just testifying a little bit here. I'll get to the scripture. It's very important. But I want you to know this weekend when we went out yesterday, my wife shared some of it. But there was an opportunity for us to do some praying with some individuals. We prayed for a lady whose back was hurt. She had surgery. And she invited us into her home. I said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" She looked at me, "No? Okay. Please come pray." We walked up, Andrew and I, my wife, we walked into her house. She had some other older kids in the house. And you know how family spreads? I mean, when you get into somebody's house, they don't know you. They're starting to go into other rooms, you know. It's amazing to me. But I said, "God, you're in this place. We're here."
Hallelujah.
And we laid hands on her and we began to pray. And we asked God to heal her and to touch her back, to make her well. I asked God, "God, I want to see a miracle. I want to see this woman healed and brought to church." What am I trying to tell you this day? I'm trying to encourage you. We need to become more bold in our faith. I said, "God, help me to pray for more people." We prayed for Mr. Jackson. His name was Stonewall Jackson. Glory. I had to ask him twice. I said, "What's your name?" Stonewall. I said, "Woo! Good name, brother. Good name." We prayed for him, the deacon, and laid hands on him and prayed for him, his ministry. And got through and praying for brother. I was over witnessing to a Mexican, a few Mexicans that were out in the front yard playing their music and drinking. He was over there with Javier. And Javier, brother Al, you know brother Al, he was going. Javier and Turpin. Brother Al was going. Javier and Turpin. I mean, they were both talking. This guy, I'm telling you, he felt the presence of God. They felt the presence of God. We come back, we gather together, all of us got around, and I just felt the unction of the Spirit to say, "Brother, let's stop right here in the middle of the road, let's join hands and pray." Come on, church. It's time people see Christians. Amen. That's right, we believe in God and we pray. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. And I know the neighbors saw us. We're all out there praying for that individual that was drinking, for those men that we have been witnessing to, and for the women we were witnessing to yesterday. I'm telling you, we need to herald the voice of God. People need to see the light in a dark place. If we don't get a vision, we shall perish. This new coming year, I want you to envision this church exploding with people.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Lost sinners exploding with them. You say, "Oh, that's impossible. We didn't do anything this past year." Well, God added to this church this year. God added to this church some folks this year. Yes, He did. And I'm believing for greater things in the coming year that God is going to do when we remain faithful, when we remain faithful to His commands, when we follow Him inexplicably in all that He says and does.
Come on, brother, come on.
When we let our light shine, God will shine.
Oh, yeah.
He says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me."
Yes.
All men. I go out. Every time I go out with my wife, I'm praying as I'm going to the next house. God, help me lift you up.
Come on, brother.
Just you be exalted, God. You be lifted up to this home. Give me words to speak. Give me discernment to know what they need. Church, we have got to get excited with what God is doing. Now you say, "Oh, Brother Carl, you're just excited because you just love going out witnessing." Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Amen. I love talking to people. I love sharing Jesus Christ.
Woo! Glory!
I love letting people know there's one way, brother, that's either heaven or hell.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
You got to choose. Those young men my wife are talking about. Rebellious youth. Oh my, you can just see it in them. You can see how the world's got hold of them. And I preached the gospel to them and some were listening, some were mocking, some were trying to cut up in the midst of it. I know they're going to do those things, but listen, the word has to go out.
Amen. Amen.
The word can penetrate through all that mess that they're trying to distort. There's one among them there I felt that God was trying to touch. Oh, I want you to get excited what God is doing among us. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Paul had a heart. The Apostle Paul had a heart for Israel. Notice in verse 1 he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." My, that's his heart's desire. Is the salvation of Israel. That they come to know Jesus as He knows Jesus. I wonder if we sometimes would pray that prayer. God, it's my heart's desire that those in River Creek would be saved. And come to know You. When we go out and wherever we're at, whether in the subdivision, whether in a supermarket, whether in town somewhere, on our jobs, we need to pray this prayer that the people we're around might come to know Jesus.
Come on.
To love Him. That they'd be saved. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. People are blind, church. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light," hallelujah, "of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." I want that light to shine to folks. Hallelujah. I want them to be saved. Not blind, not held in blindness, but their eyes be opened and see for once that yes, there is a Savior. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says in verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now, I know he's talking about Israel here, but you know you can put about any person you want in here. This is the condition of men who do not love God, who are not saved. Men may even have a zeal for God, but not even know Him. Come on, church. The apostle, or Saul at the time, had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Amen.
I mean, he was wise, taught under the feet of Gamaliel, the wise teacher of that era. Yet he was ignorant. He was not, it was not according to the knowledge he needed. Woo! He says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." That's the condition of man today. Man wants to do what he wants to do. Man wants to establish his own righteousness. He does not want to go of the way of God. They want their own righteousness established, and they do not want to submit to God, but only submit to themselves.
Come on, brother.
They are their own gods.
Come on,
no one will tell them what to do.
Come on,
no one will tell them how to live. No one will tell them where to go.
Come on,
I'm telling you, Paul understood their condition and their unbelief toward Christ.
Come on,
and his heart yearned that they might know God as he should. He says, for verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Amen? "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven," that is, to bring Christ down from above, "or who shall descend into the deep," that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. Notice the argument he's bringing here. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee," hallelujah, "even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Hallelujah. I'm wanting to encourage us this afternoon to understand that men and women out here today are living in unrighteousness. They're living in without a true knowledge according to God's will.
Yes, amen.
They need to hear the truth.
Amen.
They need to be preached to. Amen. They need to be taught what is right among them, that the righteousness of God would speak to them. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Oh, my. Paul says, but the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Boy, you talk about close to us.
Come on, brother.
The word is in our mouth. It's right there. It's before us. We speak the word of faith. Hallelujah. He says, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Oh, hallelujah. And this is what I try to tell folks. And I pray you go out this new coming year and try to tell people that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a declaration. I like that. He says, it's interesting in this creed or confession that they make. Notice what they said. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The church was not that Jesus is Savior. That's not what the creed was. That's not what they preached. They preached He is Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He was not Savior Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I want us to understand this new coming year. This Jesus in whom we love is both Lord and Master of all. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is. Interestingly enough, He is specifically called Savior 16 times in the New Testament. 16 times He's called Savior. But 450 times He's referred to as Lord.
Praise God.
Woo, praise God!
Hallelujah.
That's quite a significant difference there, folks. He is Lord. Hallelujah. These current teachings in some evangelical circles that Jesus can be one's Savior without necessarily being one's Lord is found nowhere in the New Testament. Nowhere. No one can receive Jesus as Savior without receiving Him as Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have to receive Him as Lord.
Yes, that's right.
And we fight against that as well on the streets that we're on because people have false doctrine taught to them.
That's right.
They do not understand the Lordship of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
That's true. That's exactly right.
They think He's a band-aid or something, you know.
Yeah, come on.
Something that can just be for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, He's more than that. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's essential apostolic teaching. Lord Jesus.
Come on, man.
Amen, church. You with me? Lord. That Lord in the Greek is Kairos, if I say that right. K-Y-R-I-O-S. I don't know how you pronounce that. But that's the Greek word. And what does it mean? It means having power. The Lord has power. He has dominion. He has authority and the right to master.
Hallelujah.
When we call Him Lord, I want us to understand this Lord that we serve has all dominion, all authority, all power. Hallelujah. So when we're out there or you're on your job or you're on your workplace, you remember the Lord Jesus has the dominion, has the power, has the authority. All authority is given unto Him in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. All we have to do is to cast out those demons that are there. Praise God under the authority of Jesus Christ. We know in whom we have believed in. He's able to keep that which we have committed unto Him, church. Hallelujah. He is Lord. He is Lord. Oh, God.
He is. Praise God.
And being declared as Lord also declares Him to be equal with God.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! He is God. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He is equal with God. He is worthy of power.
Yes.
Oh,
Glory.
Hallelujah. Glory. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our obedience to Him. Amen. He is worthy of our prayer that we pray. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Oh, I'm looking forward to this coming year.
Hallelujah, brother.
To share the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. To look with vision out there, knowing that my God will bring that rain to us. Oh, hallelujah. The early and the latter rain shall come, church. He is Lord. He is Lord over us. Amen. Do you believe that?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. I hope you do, because God has prepared us unto good works. He has prepared us for good works. And in this, he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." Titus chapter 2, verse 7, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." Hallelujah. "In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity." Titus 3:14. "Let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." He says, "Thou shalt confess the Lord with thy mouth," in verse 9, "with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." We need Christians today who are able to witness, able to share, not ashamed of this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
"For it is the power of God."
Amen.
"Unto salvation."
Amen.
"To all who believe."
Amen. Hallelujah.
Those men and women, boys and girls in our neighborhoods, they need to hear the gospel.
Hear the gospel, brother.
"For it is the power of God." It's not my power. It's not your power. It is God's power. It is God who died for this. Hallelujah. It is God who rose again the third day. It is God that we must believe in. It is God who is the only way to eternal life. That is the gospel that people need to hear.
Hallelujah.
Interesting. That young man, my wife, I was telling him, I said, "Look, son, you've only got two options. You either go into heaven or you go into hell." He says, "Well, can't there be a third option?" I said, "Well, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, if we could have a third option around here. God, I'm just going to stay the way I am. So leave me alone. You know, that's my third option." I told him, I said, "Son, that ain't going to work." I said, "This word is true." I said, "The word does not lie." I said, "He only gives us two options. You either follow God or you follow the devil." And boy, you know, his eyes are getting big. He says, "But I still like that third option." I said, "There ain't going to be one. You got to make a choice." I said, "This is the day of salvation.
Come on, brother.
You're not promised tomorrow." I said, "You could die. You could go to hell tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You're not promised." Mm-hmm. I said, "You need to think about it, son. And you need to put it in your mind and think about what I'm telling you. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life." Amen, church.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Didn't say might be, hope to be. Shall be saved.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you the truth. It's so exciting. I have been so excited going out. My wife says, "Oh, you just got a passion." I do. My passion is to see lost people saved. My passion is to see men and women come to Jesus Christ. My passion is to be able to be a vessel, just a vessel, just a humble, humble piece of clay that can be touched by the Almighty and be endued with knowledge from Him, not my knowledge, but His knowledge, and that it would flow through me, that it would touch, that I could be considered a vessel honorable enough to touch the life of someone who needs Christ. In 2014, all I want to be is a vessel for God to use. Now I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. This coming new year. Oh, if you would like to go witnessing, come on, praise God, the more the better. I'm telling you, it looked like a mighty army when we went out there and we sang last weekend. I told my wife, I said, man, it's like an army out here. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
You know, like a mighty army. We sang it this morning, this afternoon, like a mighty army. God's people need to march out. I think the devil has scared us. I think the devil has shaken some of us. I think the devil is, you know, like an old hound dog, put his tail between his legs and hunched down and just gets away from everything, and he's scared.
Amen.
I tell you, church, we don't need to be scared of nothing.
Amen. Come on, brother.
The Bible says, be meek as doves, but as bold as a lion.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when we go out there, there's nothing to be scared of.
Come on, brother.
We allow fears to shut our mouths. We allow that we don't want to be a nuisance to interfere with our witness to God. We don't want to be seen as crazy or silly out there because, you know, you're out there talking about Jesus and people will mock you and make fun of you. And therefore, you tend or people don't want to witness for Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you, get away from all that mess. That's nothing but the devil. That's nothing but your enemy that is coming against you to try to stop you from doing the will of God.
Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah.
God's created you for good works. And He wants your work to bear fruit.
Amen.
And in 2014, I'm looking for fruit.
Amen.
I'm looking for fruit.
Amen.
When I go out there and we plow and we put the seed, we're tilling up the ground as we're going. We're putting seed down. We're planting seed. Next week, someone comes behind us, does a little watering on that ground. Oh, praise God, a little stem starts coming up. Next one comes in and starts putting more of the word down. And before you know it, boom! Someone says, I want the Lord. Hallelujah. And you say, what in the world? It's taken a month. It's taken 2 months. It's taken 3 months. So what? Go, servant. Where's the cloud? Hallelujah. I don't see nothing, Elijah. Go back. Get a vision. Glory to God. Know that the Lord is with you. I'm telling you, it takes us to till. It takes some tilling. It takes some tilling. And we must plant the Word of God in these people that they can hear it.
Woo.
Now I get down to the verses I want to really get down to. Verse 14. I want you to see the argument Paul brings here. Interesting. Notice this. He tells them, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Interesting that this word of God that we proclaim, there must be a call to be given out to people. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is light. My burden is easy. There's a call that must go out to people if they are going to be saved. We must be heralders of the kingdom of God. A call has to go out before they will be saved. Notice the sequence Paul is putting this in. Once they are called, then they must believe. Hallelujah. Well, when we call them, then we witness to them. And we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And oh, we're praying that God would open their eyes and open their heart and that they may believe the words that is given to them. He says, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? They've got to hear, church. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We can wish them, oh, I wish they would get saved. I wish they would get saved. I mean, we could be blue in the face. We could come every day here to church. I wish.
Come on, brother.
Oh, I wish they'd get saved. I wish they'd get saved. Oh, Lord, please, I wish they'd get saved. You can wish all you want.
Amen, brother.
But until you put a call out.
Hallelujah.
Until you tell them the word of the gospel.
Amen.
They're not going to believe.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Are you following me? I haven't lost you. And they're not going to believe until they hear it. Come on, church. And they're not going to hear without a preacher. Now, please don't get this misunderstood thinking, well, it's only the preacher's responsibility to get out there and tell the gospel to everyone.
Come on, brother.
Wrong. Each of us have been given the Great Commission. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen.
All of us have been given the Great Commission to go and to preach the gospel of the good news. Woo! Hallelujah. We have what is good to tell. We have the good news. Amen. I'm telling you, it's not bad news. It's good news. In the middle of a darkness, in the middle of depravity, in the middle of all this, there is good news. And that is what people must hear. Oh, I tell you, we prayed for that lady yesterday. It's wonderful to go into a house and lay hands on someone and pray for them. She had a big old child in the back of her. She claims to be saved. Well, not saved. She claimed to go to church. You know? Got this big old child in her jaw. But you know what? We got to look past some things, church. Come on, we got to get past. We got to get past looking at their hairdos, their tattoos, their chewing and chaw, they're smoking, they're drinking, their ungodly dress, they're just foulness. You've got to get past all that and see that there is a person in there that God wants to save.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When we can see the love of God pour forth from us in this coming year, seeing people what they could be, not what they are. Oh, I saw her there with that big child in the back of her. I thought, you know what? When God get hold of her and save her good, she could be one of the most godly women you've ever seen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. It's God that changes lives, not us.
That's right, brother.
Amen. It's God that sanctifies, not us.
Hallelujah.
My responsibility is not to go out and sanctify. My responsibility is to go out and preach the word of God.
Glory to God.
Tell the good news to all.
Hallelujah.
That Jesus Christ has come. Oh, glory to God. They can be saved. But yes, it's not only the responsibility of the preacher up here behind this pulpit to herald the good news, but each one of us need to be preachers. Need to tell. That's what preacher is. He tells the good news. He proclaims the gospel. He tells other people about God. Now, I want you to get excited about 2014. This is going to be a wonderful year.
Yes, sir.
I'm hoping you're getting a vision that God can do great and mighty things for us. He's given us a taste here at the end of 2013, what could be coming in great abundance in 2014. Interesting enough how Paul placed this question to the people in verses 14 and 15. He places these questions to them. The call to believe, to hear, to preach, to be sent. But unless, church, we have a vision, unless we grasp what God has for this church and how He wants to move us forward in 2014, unless we have a yearning that is burnt, I mean our bones burn within us to proclaim this good news, then we will perish. Without a vision, you perish. And without remembering God's goodness without rehearsing them, without going over them, without declaring them, without remembering the goodness of God, if we allow that to go on, we ourselves will perish. We will become what we can term a nominal church. One that just comes on a Sunday and goes home.
Come on, brother.
That's not what God wants. None of us here. None of us here. I know none of us here want nothing like that. So unless we get a vision. Now I want you just to repeat. I want you to look at this scripture here for a second. And I want you to reverse the order. This isn't mine. This is Brother Messer. As a matter of fact, I heard him preach this one time. And he reversed the order. And I thought, now look at that. Unless there is a vision, no one will be sent. And unless no one is sent, there will be no preaching of the gospel. And if there's no preaching of the gospel, there'll be no one to hear it. And if no one hears it, no one will believe it. And if no one believes it, there'll be no call to come to salvation. When Brother Messer preached that one time, and I heard that, I said, wow. That's profound to me. Not to you, but to me it was profound. I thought, my. It's right there in those verses, church. We must have a vision. We must ask the Lord. He is the Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers into His field. This is the time our field is ripe unto harvest. Hallelujah. We have a field out here, not just where we're going right now, but there's fields all over. All over that we can reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Woo. We're not even challenged out here.
Come on, brother.
I've been in this subdivision already for over a month, and we've been the only ones out there.
Come on, that's right. Come on, man.
I don't even see the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Come on, brother.
Now I know they're there because I go to some homes, there's a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, I haven't found them out there witnessing yet. They're probably too cold for them.
That's all right. That's all right.
We'll win them.
Praise.
We'll win them.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We'll win them. I'm excited, church. I'm excited. Praise God. But let us declare this good news. Now, there's so much more of the scripture I would like to share with you, but I just want you to get a grasp, if you will. Jesus came to save the lost. What are you here for? Think about that. What is my duty? What am I called for? What are you here for?
You're here to be a vessel of honor. Not a vessel of dishonor, but a vessel unto honor.
You're here to be used by the Master. We are to serve, church. We're not here to get. We're not here to just enjoy. We're not here to just because we like each other and it's a fun place to be and it's a good place to be and, well, we just enjoy each other's company. No. That's not what God wants you here for. Yes, there's times of refreshing we get in the presence of one another, and that's needful. It's needful. But where God wants you is out there.
Hallelujah.
Out where? Out everywhere. He wants you in your neighborhoods. He wants you in your jobs. He wants you out in whatever area the church is designated or wherever God can place you. He wants your light to shine.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
In a dark and terrible world that we live in,
Hallelujah.
Christ must shine through us. So this new coming year, I want you to get a vision of what God can do for this church. I believe that God can fill this church with people. Birth into the kingdom. I'm not looking to proselyte other people from other churches. No, thank you. I'm like Paul. I'm not going to build my foundation on somebody else's foundation.
Amen, brother. That's right.
No, sir.
You need some faith.
I want us to get out there this new coming year and see the glory, the God that we serve in real salvations. That we bring to the church. That we have been able to be used by God to bring people to church. You want to get excited? My wife says, you know, we got through witnessing. She gets it amazes me. This is what it does. Bear with me a minute. My wife gets excited. She goes, you know what? We got through. I said, honey, I'm hungry. See, mind if I go to Hardee's? I just got to get something to drink. Okay. We get into Hardee's. My wife sits up there witnessing to the cashier for 20 minutes.
Go for it.
I'm only going to eat my hamburger.
My wife's getting cold. I look over here and she just said, oh, yeah, Jesus is. Jesus is. Jesus is.
Whoo! What are you saying that, brother?
Glory to God.
It sharpens you.
Yeah, it sharpens you, brother.
When you get out and you share your faith, it sharpens you.
It does, brother. Yes, it does.
It gives you a boldness. I don't know how to explain it. It just overcomes. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Ross? You get a boldness about
glory
you. Man, you just share the gospel with a bunch of people and all of a sudden, here's another
one. Yeah, praise the Lord.
And share.
Amen.
You know, you begin to look at everyone as a prospect for the gospel.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Instead of like a lot of people in New York, just walk by. You know, won't give you the time of day.
Come on.
2014. I believe it's going to be a new harvest.
I believe it will.
I believe we're going to see birth in the kingdom of God. And I want you to pray God give you a vision for new births in this kingdom of God. And that our church would just go. It's a good thing that the church overflows with people.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I believe God has prepared many of us in here as teachers and instructors in the Word of God already that we're able right now that God would give us a hearts to begin to train them, to begin to give them what they need in God to establish them.
Amen.
Oh, it'll be like a. I wish I could just. My heart is just overflowing. I just wish it would go forth from me to you to understand that if we would just get a family, one family, solidly saved.
Amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Then they would bring another family.
Yeah. You know, praise God.
We wouldn't even have to bring.
Thanks. Hallelujah.
That's how it works.
That's how it works, brother.
They would bring a family. Because they see what God is doing.
Amen, 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 amen.
And it just grows.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
So this year, this coming new year, I pray and hope. I pray.
Go ahead. Hallelujah.
That you have a vision.
Yes.
That you're not going to sit idle. I'm not saying you have to go out with Brother Cottle and everyone else to go witnessing if that's just not what your parfait is. But I tell you what, you can tell your neighbor. You can share with your brother. You can pray. You can pray. Amen. You can make phone calls. Glory. You can write letters. I'm telling you, there's many avenues of evangelization and just going door to door. The preacher said it this morning, we need to use our power. We need to use what God has given us. If we don't use it, you lose it. Yes, sir. Just like a professional athlete. If he doesn't keep on his schedule, and he doesn't keep on his workouts, he'll lose it. The runner's not going to be as fast as he was before because he hasn't practiced and kept up his routine. We must practice our faith.
Come on, brother. Hallelujah.
Our faith is not to be hid.
Hallelujah.
Our faith is not closed up in a closet somewhere. Our faith is to be shown.
Right.
Don't worry what man will say to you. You have the Lord beside you.
Amen.
Paul put it this way, he's ever before me. And at my right hand. Wow. Right hand is never this way.
ask God for a vision in 2014.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want you to come. Please come. Hallelujah. Find a place to pray.
Glory to God. Glory.
Spend a few moments with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And ask God to help us in this coming year. Hallelujah.